So come on, you Vixens, big game ahead.
Shahan, did you notice how Jess Fishlock's shirt was spelt today?
Based on what happened from earlier in the season, I believe her shirt was actually spelled correctly. I think the care person at Reading was given the word by the team. And yeah, I think Fishlock's shirt was on fire today. I don't know about the player herself, but like the shirt definitely was.
She looked a bit sleepy, I thought.
Yeah,
actually.
A little bit tired. Like yeah. Misfiring fairly often, but absolutely blunted by the sharp tool of a bagger's worldie.
Sorry. Blunted by the sharp tool.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Bristol City Vixen Cast, a podcast all about Bristol City women. If watching Bristol City women is a pub of the pint, this podcast is the substantial meal.
It certainly is. So don't forget to like and rate and review and follow us and do all of those things that you do to podcasts if you like it.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BC Vixencast. My name is Shahan Mir.
My name is DM Withers.
And I'm Nat Brown.
We'd like to dedicate this episode to the memory of Luke Wheaton, Michael James, Brian Vickery and Raymond White, who died sadly in the Avonmouth explosion on Thursday. Our thoughts are with their families.
Thank you for that, DM. And for those of you who do listen to the show regularly, thank you to those who provide the feedback and all the love from our special episode during the international break featuring Ella, the Maestro Master Antonio and the Ladies League from Australia. So hello to all our new fans in Australia, or g'day. I couldn't even do the accent just then, oh dear.
And talking of Australia, after the interview, we got in touch with the Chicken Salt Company, which is a reference to some of the things that we discussed in the interview. And the Chicken Salt Company are based in the UK, and they import chicken salt from Australia. And we've got some chicken salt to give away on this podcast. And they've got two different varieties, the normal chicken salt and the spicy chicken salt, and also a t-shirt. So when that arrives, we're going to be running a competition where you can enter some kind of prize, do some kind of Jeopardy, enter in some kind of Jeopardy in order to get some chicken salt. And just to confirm, chicken salt, at least the normal version, is vegetarian, but it's packed full of MSG. But the other one, it's vegan, but the spicy one's got milk products in it. So just in case you're vegan, and sorry about that.
Because of the current restrictions that are now in place across England, we are still recording this episode remotely. So I am here in my home in Bristol, and DM and Nat are joining me from their home also in Bristol.
Do you want to f***ing win on Sunday or not?
Bristol have just drawn 1-1 in a breathless contest at the Majeski Stadium. Shades of last season, Nat, in terms of the similar fixture at the Madstad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another draw. It was pretty exciting as well. Another tense competition. Obviously, we were all there having a great away day with the supporters club. And it was a really fun match. But I do remember distinctly there were lots of very, very young Reading fans that were quite screechy. So I was quite pleased that there aren't any of them in my house.
Yeah, and the only kind of Reading fans that I did hear today was, you know, just a man like making a very loud bellow of like, come on, you ours.
Yeah.
You know, punctuated throughout the 90 minutes. So there was less children.
But all the fans that were at the game today were home fans, and they were sat on the opposite stand compared to where we were sat last year with the camera on that same stand as well. So maybe that's why the game, to me anyway, sounded a little bit quiet. I couldn't really hear many songs or chants and so on.
Yeah, there was a few chants. I think I did hear a few chants, but it was, yeah, I don't know how many. Be interesting to get the figures to see. I think, is it 700? Anyway, who were the maximum amount? I suppose, is it the same as the men, 2,000 can go?
Yeah.
In terms of
I think it's 2,000 the maximum, because I think the Reading men played Nottingham Forest at the Majeski yesterday, and I think they had up to 2,000 fans, I believe. But yeah, you're talking about chants then. I remember when Sophie Bagley was about to take a goal kick, I could hear the countdown, you know, 1, 2, like how many seconds it took for her to actually take.
I mean, baggers, today, I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Like, baggers had the worldie of all worldies today. She was absolutely superb, brilliant at time wasting, incredible game management, nicking 30 seconds here and there. But those saves, I think I've got here that Reading had 33 shots and 14 are on target. You could just do a montage of all the saves that Sophie Bagley made today. It was absolutely superb. And I think their goal, which was scored by Farah Williams on the 50th minute, was, I think it looked like she was being fouled, but maybe I'm looking at that through purple and lime tinted glasses, but I'm not sure. What did you think, Shahan? Did you think Bagley was fouled for the Reading goal?
Funny enough, I didn't quite spot the potential foul. All I did see was Farah Williams picking up the ball and scoring the goal that she did. Yeah, so today was Tanya Oxby's first game back in charge after missing the last two games due to recovering from coronavirus. And with the managerial changes that happened after Women's Football Weekend, I was quite surprised to see Tanya not be affected by that. Obviously, I'm not being anti-Tanya, of course. I'm just very surprised at what happened at Spurs and West Ham, respectively.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was interesting today that Gary Probert was there at the Majeski Stadium. I'm not sure if you heard say that, but that was the case. So maybe he's joined the coaching staff permanently, at least on game days. I'm not sure, I think Tanya was very present during that performance today. You could see her marauding on the touchline in outside of her technical box. And in fact, one time the referee was like, get back in your box. And Lauren Dykes had to almost rugby tackle her back into her technical area. So it was really good to see her so engaged and animated and directly trying to involve herself in the instructions for the game. So, and it was, you know, the first, I think you said, Nat, the goal was just like perfect Oxby tactics.
Yeah, I think it like the whole game really, wasn't it? It was really like, I think we've been trying to pursue the same tactics all season and for the last couple of seasons. And I think today was an example of a time when it actually worked. We were fairly resilient. We had kind of a 5 and a 4 pretty much behind the ball all the time. Like Baggers was incredible, obviously. Possibly if Baggers hadn't have played so well, it might have looked really silly. But actually, I think today was what it was meant to look like. And to score that fantastic goal, it was just, yeah, I just think that it just looked like a classic Oxtoby performance, didn't it? It was like, frustrate them, don't let them score an incredible counter-attacking goal. And then it would have been really good if we'd have properly shut them out in the second half. But
so you're referring to Emma Bissell's goal of 42 minutes, which was her first goal in the WSL with the assist from Charlie Wellens. And yes, it was a counter-attack from after Jess Fishlock's attempt just before then. Yeah, looking at the squad, looking at the first half of the game, I was very briefly worried for a while when the game had to be stopped for a while because of Gemma Evans' bump to the head, which caused 5 minutes of added time at the end of the first half. But she did get bandaged up for the second half, which kind of gave me like memories of like Terry Butcher from England from like back in the day.
Yeah. Well, my reference for that is Gary O'Neill, but he's a Norwich player.
Yes, he did.
Played for Bristol City, didn't he, Gary O'Neill? There was a season when he played for Norwich when he kind of constantly played with a similar, very striking head. Bandage.
Yep. And looking at the squad today, some notable absences. Chloe Legarza was understandable considering her facial injury she suffered at the Spurs game. And she posted in the Instagram story where she's still recovering. Jazz Matthews was missing today, but in the pre-match interview, Tanya said she was going through concussion protocol, so something must have happened during training. Hopefully she recovers soon in time for the games next week. It's great to see Faye Bryson back on the subs bench. And Ebony Salmon starting, so that was good.
Delighted to see that, as ever. And I really appreciated the clubs putting out the comms, actually, about the reasons why the players weren't starting, because they're not always brilliant at that. And I think it helps the fans to be engaged when we know, just like the headlines about why players aren't on the pitch.
Of course, Jazz Matthews not playing today. Sophie Bagley was named club captain for the game. And
and what a captain's performance that was.
Captain of
Baggers!
The
Baggers! Right? Genius.
She was
compared to Reading squad, they could only name five subs And they had plenty of Vixens in disguise in their own squad, including Jess Fishlock and Natasha Hardin, Angra James. I think that's it, really. Was there more?
No, there was one of the other young
ones. Lily Woodham.
Yeah, there you go.
I think she started her career at Bristol.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of, she was the only young one, very much the veterans of the Vixens in disguise. Yeah. And they did look a bit tired. And I imagine, you know, I was thinking maybe they wouldn't be totally on it and as sharp as they could be because of the Wales match which they played in on Tuesday, and I was thinking maybe this is a good time to play Reading because, you know, they would have had that disappointment, they'd maybe a little bit tired. So they all played 90 minutes.
Reading actually had 10 players away on international duty, whereas Bristol City only had just the one, being Gemma Evans. And of course Reading came in today being seventh place in the WSL, having drawn their last three WSL games, usually scoring one goal in each of those games. So, well, obviously, as it turned out to be, Reading stuck to their drawing habits, which was good. I think probably benefited Bristol more than it did Reading, because I think I said this in the last episode of the Tottenham game. I feel it's more 1 point gain for Bristol and 2 points lost for Reading.
Yeah, I think definitely towards the end of the match. I mean, I was hopeful when we got to halftime 1-0 that we could win it. And I liked the way we were playing. I mean, I think we could have controlled the ball. I mean, there's definitely things we can improve on in the moving forward. But there was a bit of a kind of, you know, it was quite fun watching the game today. And it was also terrifying. But before we go on to talk about that in detail, I just want to say Naomi Lazell, 16 years old, playing in the centre of defence. She's 16. That's just mental. And she's really tall and very composed. And yeah, I hadn't really properly appreciated the fact that she was 16 years old. And fair play. And she's keeping Laura Rafferty out the centre-back position. And she looked good. You know, she looked really good.
I don't know before that Lazell was actually older than that, like 17 or 18, but still an academy product. But yeah,
amazing. And Gemma Evans today was an absolute beast, wasn't she?
She was really, really good. I think that's one of the best performances I've seen from her in absolutely ages. She didn't really do anything wrong. She was doing all that kind of shepherding, wasn't she? She was like just seeing people and the ball out quite often, and when she couldn't do that, she was kind of clearing quite often for throw-ins and stuff rather than for corners and stuff like that. I just think it was a really, I think she just played really sensibly. Yeah, I just thought it was a really, really good performance from her. I think she likes playing in that back five, doesn't she? She's kind of left-sided centre half, because that's kind of what I thought they were playing today, with a back five, with Daniels playing in a more defensive role today. And
Yana Daniels was also really good, I thought, today.
Yeah, she was really solid. And I think our defence actually played really, really well today as defenders. And there were lots of times when the ball just kind of went right through to Baggers as well, which is good, because it meant that Reading weren't able to play. You know, the ball, they were kind of, you know, I know they had a lot of shots.
they did have a lot of shots on target
even. So it was kind of well done, Baggers. But actually, a lot of the times the ball just went straight through to her, didn't it? And a lot of the time she even had time to collect it with her feet rather than her hands. So I think kind of the defenders played pretty well in that respect. And yeah, it was a good team performance. And to, you know, to have a, you know, that many shots on target from the opposition and for it to be a 1-1 draw, I think that's a really amazing result. I think they really ground it out. And, you know, for a few games now, they've actually just shown a bit more grit. And yeah, not kind of conceded, because I felt really worried when we conceded. I felt like, oh God, here we go. But actually, we just didn't. And it wasn't even a good goal to concede. It was kind of a really crappy, scrappy goal. And then I thought that
was from Farrell Williams in the 49th minute.
Yeah, that. And I just, it wasn't a good goal, was it? It was just a kind of, it, you know, bouncing around in the box. And then I thought that they were going to kind of possibly score again. But actually, we held really firm. And I even thought we had a few counter-attacking opportunities, didn't we? That Yana Daniels amazing run, trying to copy Purfield from that Lewis game, which just kept going. I thought, why not?
Yeah, that was just before she was subbed. Yana Daniels went on that snaky run. She just kept on going past the players. And I thought, yeah, she's going to score.
One of two things. Like, she either knew she was going to get subbed and she thought, this is one last go. Or she did it and immediately they were like, Yana, never do that again. Get back. And they just took her off the pitch.
Yeah, so, you mentioned that. Just before she was subbed off for the returning Faye Bryce, and Yana did provide an assist to Charlie Wellens. And I thought Charlie Wellens had a really good game as well. Tried to have a lot of attempts.
Yeah.
As did Ebony Salmon as well, and Abby House, and obviously who came on as a sub in the second half for Emma Bissell. It's nice to see House and Bissell, House and Salmon form or reform their partnership.
Yep, definitely. That was great. And yeah, I thought Bissell was really good. It's great to have an attacking midfielder who's not frightened of hitting the ball first time. I mean, the goal was just like, let's just talk about the goal for a minute that we scored, because it was a thing of absolute beauty.
Well, all I can remember, it was a save from Baggers. Somehow it got up to the left to Salmon. Salmon played it through really, really quickly up to Wellings. And Wellings, who had just kind of fluffed it about 10 minutes previously, and she'd miskicked it to the side of the net, she actually played it perfectly to Bissell, who took a touch and then scored. Which I just thought it was a really, really good goal. And it was actually reminiscent of some of the, like, because we last time we played Reading last season away, we scored like three amazing like team goals, you know, with really, you know, like that kind of quick, incisive team goals. So going all the way from Baggers to a forward player and scoring, you know, within, you know, that's like a kind of 15 second move. And I just thought it was really, really brilliant. And the last time we scored goals like that was actually the Reading game. So I don't know what it is, maybe about the way Reading play,
yeah,
or how we feel when we go there. But yeah, it was like it was a goal that could have been part of that 3-3.
Yeah, and there was one moment actually, I think during the second half, when the ball went over the top and Ebony Salmon was nearly in on goal, and I was like, this is history repeating itself. But the Reading defender took the ball away, so
they
were
doubling up on her a lot actually. So they kind of prevented that from being an outlet. But that's why it was really, really clever that our goal came from Salmon being a provider rather than a recipient and having two players up in front of her, because they weren't getting double marked. It was Salmon that was getting kind of doubled up on. So it was great that she was able to kind of create the goal rather than score it. And usually nobody's ahead of Salmon. Usually nobody's quick enough, but it was an unusual time where two people had managed to get beyond her and were quick enough. So it was really good that Wellings and Bissell decided that they were going to get up there and get in the box. And we had a few opportunities where people got in the box today. So that was pretty good.
Yeah. And
yeah, exciting.
We've talked about just then about players that stood out for us. Do you remember, you think there was any players like could have done a little bit better, or players you feel maybe just weren't quite there today for whatever reason?
Well, I think just in general, I think the midfield, I just thought we could have done better at like picking up first and second balls, and they were, it was just inconsistent. There was inconsistencies across the 90 minutes. I think everybody else was very consistent, and I think maybe like some of the midfield was a bit inconsistent. I think like Purfield wasn't as good as she has been, I think, today, but she's been probably our best player for the whole season for me. So the fact that she was a little bit off today is, you know, it's absolutely fine and it hasn't affected anything. So yeah, I just think that's as a team effort, I just think we could be a bit better at picking up those, you know, those second and first balls, because in a better side, if we were playing a better team, we'd definitely be punished, but then we know that we can do it. So they're obviously, it was obviously part of the soaking up the pressure technique was obviously part of the plan. So yeah, but I think it was a good team performance, but you know, there was inconsistencies in parts of the team.
I think there was some brief instances, to answer my own question which I asked, I think there was a couple of times where I think I saw Carla Humphrey try to pick up the ball and then it just gets intercepted by the Reading attack. And yeah, and looking at the other players in the starting lineup, like again, the players like Flo Allen, for example, who I didn't notice, but not because that they were bad, but because they did nothing that stood out either. So I'm fine with that, if they're not like being kind of productive or being, what's the word? you know, not going against the team dynamic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a really good description of Flo Allan's performance. She was just like, you didn't really notice her on the pitch, and that's kind of a good thing.
There were far too many times where we got the ball and then we just kind of gave it away. Like that's like, you don't have to, you know, it's okay to have some possession, you know. I think that was, I don't know, I think it's just like we're not set up to keep the ball at all. So it was quite a few times when Mastrantonio had the ball, and she's someone who can make quite a bit of time and space for herself. So she can kind of pick it up, and then you can see her looking around thinking, right, who am I going to pass this to? Who am I going to pass this to? And it looks like she's got loads of time and space, which she does, but she's got no teammates evident, you know, like there's just nobody around to collect the ball from her. So she can kind of generate time and space for herself on the ball. But then it looked like there were so few people to pass the ball to. So that was kind of a bit of a disappointment in some respects. I just think, so, you know, just they need to kind of more quickly transition from being out of possession to into possession, and for it not always to be that long ball to Salmon. Like, yeah, sometimes, even if it's just one or two passes, because when we go through the midfield, like we did for the goal, we can still play counter-attacking. It doesn't always have to be the ball over the top. We can actually play it pretty well. I just think we could have, yeah, there were just far too many times where we did pick the ball up in midfield, or it was cleared from a defender and we just didn't have the, you know, we either didn't collect the first ball or we collected it and then gave it away really, really easily. So
you mentioned possession there, and that Reading actually has 69% possession, whereas Bristol only have 31%. Just one more thing I want to mention about the game. It makes me think, how many attempts, of all the 33 attempts, the Reading hand goal, how many of them were by Natasha Harden? Because imagine if she got them all, what would the score have been to Reading? Like 10-0 or something? Or 10-1?
I think she played quite... It was. She was quite. She just missed quite a few, didn't she?
She did miss quite a few. She was just put off by Bagger's kit.
The good old Milo.
Exactly.
And I don't know. It's like we watch the games. We don't know like how terrifying a presence Sophie Bagley probably is for, you know, the strikers bearing down on goal. I mean, that the terror of facing Sophie Bagley is probably enough just to make you.
Yep. And, the other direction, and of course, she was on fire today, making all those saves, being on fire, inflammable Milo Pernica.
She was. I mean, I just. Yeah, I'm speechless at how brilliant Sophie
Which
Bagley
is good
was
for
today.
A podcast.
Yeah, and exactly.
After today's result, Bristol City are now on 2 points from 7 games, 0 wins, 2 draws, and 5 losses. Aston Villa above us on 3 points from 6 games, and West Ham on 4 points from 8 games in 10th.
And now it's time for our regular feature, where we hear from a fan from the opposing side. This week we've got Rob, who supports Reading Women, and Rob is also a fully paid-up member of the Sophie Bagley Appreciation Society.
Hi there, my name's Rob. I was at the Reading-Bristol City game. I thought Bristol City were well organised, they were clinical, could have nicked it at the end. Grace made a really good save for Reading. It was a good game of football. I've got to say that Bristol City were well organised. They had a plan and it worked very well. Reading played well, had possession, but when the final quarter, someone called Sophie Bagley was in fine form, should be in the England team in my opinion, and probably a fair result, to be honest. I think Bristol should be fine if they play like that and continue like that. Thank you.
What's the news, Shahan?
The first piece of news we need to catch up on, DM, and that is the game from 18 days ago between Bristol City and Lewis in the Conti Cup, which not only did we win 3-1, but we won our group, which means we are now through to the quarterfinals of the Conti Cup for the first time.
Wow! Woo! Yes, come on, you Vixens.
Congratulations and celebrations.
And we didn't know about this up until just before the game, but the game was actually being broadcast online on Lewis's website and the FA Player. So thank you to Lewis for broadcasting the game at all. We all really appreciate it.
So yeah, and there's some great goals scored, weren't they?
Worldies.
Yeah, so the game itself was actually Sophie Bagley's 100th Bristol City game. However, that stat was not revealed until after the game. So it would have been nice if we knew that before the game, but I'm guessing someone just worked it out. So thank you for that.
We should send Sophie Bagley like 100 appearances card or something. Send her something.
What does one do?
You can't have like a parade through the streets of Bristol, can you?
Well, I know some other supporters gave a card to Lauren Dykes when she made 100 WSL appearances against Man United earlier this year. But yeah, we could do that possibly. as well as Bagley making 100 appearances for the game, it was also Ellen Jones' first start, another Academy product. And of course, there's sensational highlights mainly from the first half. Gemma Perfield scored her first goal with an absolute 30-yarder at 22 minutes, and Emma Bissell made it 2-0 after picking up the ball from Perfield's corner at 30 minutes. And then literally about within a couple of minutes later, Ebony Salmon scored another worldie to make it 3-0 at halftime. Rianne Cleverly got one back for Lewis at 55 minutes. Izzy Cook made her another Academy product, made her team debut as a sub on 67 minutes. And Maisie Collis made her debut for the season as a sub on 75 minutes. So Bristol City topped the group after a 3-1 win. Now, DM, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Just really excited to have a cup run. Do you know when the... I was looking today and I couldn't find when the quarterfinals are being played.
I don't think they've been announced yet. But yeah, I doubt it'll be anytime in this month. It will probably have to be sometime in January or February 2021. But yeah, I don't know about
YouTube. I look forward to it anyway, when it happens, very much. Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to go and watch the game.
Definitely. I don't know about you two, DM and Abba. For me, this might be the first time I actually have to care about the Conti Cup.
Yeah, it's true. I haven't really been able to care about it too much, but I'm just happy if they're winning. I think it's good for the team spirit. I think if you're scoring goals, and it's good for confidence. And yeah, I'm happy. I don't really care if we manage to stay up and win the Continental Cup. That would
and
be
win the Continental.
Well, I'm just
Cup.
Saying, just putting it out there. That would be just a remarkable achievement, wouldn't it? So, and we'd
definitely
we'll be laughing.
Yeah,
and
take the hat.
I can't say about playing at Wembley because the Conti Cup final isn't played at Wembley. It's moved around every year. So this year was the City Ground at Nottingham Forest, and the year before that it was somewhere else. I think it was in Stoke. But yeah,
let's hope it's not in Stoke, and let's not get ahead of ourselves either.
we haven't
scaled the dizzy heights of the quarterfinals yet. But whatever happens, I'm very delighted for the team and massive congratulations. And it was just nice to have something to feel happy and warm and fuzzy about.
Yeah, moving on to other news, DM, and that was the just. I'm just going to do a brief roundup of the international break from a Bristol perspective. Gemma Evans appeared as a substitute for Wales' 3-0 win against Belarus. However, due to other results in that group, primarily involving Northern Ireland, Wales can no longer qualify for Euro 2022. Northern Ireland beat the Faroe Islands. Laura Rafferty was not in the squad. However, they have now reached the playoffs and could potentially qualify for the Euros for the first time. And Jana Daniels was not in the Belgium squad during this latest international break, but Belgium have now qualified for Euro 2022. And the last piece of news I've seen, the Vixens in Disguise roundup, first being Liv Chance has moved teams again.
Where's she gone to?
Her short-term deal at Sheffield United has come to an end, and she has now joined Brisbane Roar ahead of the W League season. Probably should have mentioned this in the episode last week because obviously the Australia theme, but I didn't for whatever reason. But based on her social media, she's now already in Australia. Oh, she's now already on the other side of the world in quarantine ahead of the new W League season. I don't know whether she gave one of her Sheffield United shirts to another fan, but
who knows? But she's off to warmer climes. Who can blame her?
Oh, exactly. Well, yeah. Very warm.
Very warm, from what we've heard.
Some people say.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, and amazingly, it's the first time she'll ever play in Australia, considering she's in New Zealand, because she spent her whole career in the United States and England. So, and the last piece of Vixens in Disguise news is Yeovil confirmed the other day that Anne Hefferson has announced her retirement again. Of course, having joined Yeovil after coming out of retirement the first time when she left Bristol Academy, I never got to see her play. So, DM and Ad, do you have any fond memories of Anne Hefferson?
I have some very fond memories of Annie Heatherson. I just found her hysterical.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed watching her play. She was in the original team, wasn't she? She was like one of the centre forwards when we first started to go watch Bristol Academy. Actually, do you know what? She really impressed me. Like one season, she just got crazy fit, like unbelievably fit. So I don't think that was really her forte. And then one season, she came back and she just ran and ran and ran. And it was quite impressive.
She was on that Herbalife stuff.
Oh, she was on the Herbalife.
That's the thing that my resounding memory of Annie Heatherson has got nothing to do with football. Is when I used to be on Facebook, because when she did these like exercise boot camps in Eastville Park. And she did these terrifying promotional videos for them. And it looked like, you know, again, that she was kind of recording it in a sort of like dark cave, I never went, but Insanity, was it?
I think that's what the name of the like scheme was called.
Yeah, but Amory Heatherson is a colleague of your best friend.
Yes,
now.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
I shan't reveal too many details.
It's possible that we could snag her for, you know, an international break interview. You never know.
If you want us to track her down, Shahan, it's really, really easy now.
We can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, and the final piece of news is, of course, Triton Park is in Tier 2. However,
Yay!
Because we're based in Bristol in Tier 3, we can't attend the games.
Never mind. At least somebody can.
At least somebody can go.
I hope so. What, are they going to let 2,000 people in? Not that they ever have 2,000 fans at the Bristol City Games, but is that the plan? If they could,
well, as we are recording this, there's two home games next week, which we're going to preview in just a second, and no ticketing information has been released so far for any of them.
Oh no!
Yeah, so it is a bit strange. I'm sure it's very much like a kind of, you know, just in time, last minute attitude where, you know, the kind of pandemic, nobody plans anything anymore because everything gets cancelled. So just release the information on Monday. And if people can go, they can go. I'm imagining that that's what will happen. But who knows? But yeah, it is a bit strange that no comms have come out whatsoever about being able to go to the game or ticket information.
You can assume it, or it'd be a lifeline for the club to get fans in, wouldn't it? And like the first fans at Twyrton Park, you think that'd be a big celebration.
Mm.
So well, hopefully that our new Bath and North East Somerset based fans can make it to the game. And actually, is South Gloss in Tier 2 as well?
The South Gloss is in Tier 3.
All right, okay. So our new kind of, you know, the newly incorporated county into the Bristol family. Hopefully fans living there can make it. But yeah, like you say, Shan, we'll just have to continue to sit in our respective houses.
Got a massive couple of games coming up next week. Aston Villa, the rescheduled match against Aston Villa at home on Wednesday. I think it's a 7:30 kickoff. And then we've got West Ham on Sunday, next Sunday. So after today's game, how are we feeling about the Aston Villa challenge?
Yeah, I think the Villa game will be a very big challenge for both teams. It's a must-win game for Bristol, a phrase which we've probably said more than once already this season. But I feel like a win is absolutely vital. If not against Villa, then maybe against West Ham, because Bristol are playing the teams in the 11th and 10th in the table next week. And of course, both teams wear clouds and blue, but they clash with red. So I'm not quite sure what away kit's going to be like.
Thoughts on kit clashes. I thought today was a bit of a kit clash. I didn't like to look at it at all.
I mean, based on recent form, Aston Villa lost 2-0 to Man United this weekend, and West Ham just about lost to Chelsea today for a 3-2 loss. And of course, West Ham still haven't found a new manager yet for their team, so we're not sure whether they will appoint a manager by the time of our game next Sunday. Whereas for Villa, I think they've still been having like their COVID issues with various games being delayed in the past, as well as the Bristol game.
Have you watched Villa much this season?
I'll admit, no, I haven't seen any of it full 90 minutes. I've just seen highlights.
I've seen them play. I saw them against Man City quite early on in the league.
Yeah.
With those goalkeeping errors. But apart from that,
I think they're very defensive and they're hard to break down. And I watched them against Birmingham and it was quite, yeah, it's quite sort of turgid, boring football, if I'm honest. they do play. I'm worried that we won't be able to break them down. I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of, I think they'll come there with a very defensive, go to Twerton Park with a very defensive mindset. And
yeah,
that's the way they're going to play and probably try and hit us on the counter-attack. I am hopeful, though, that we have got just about enough smarts in terms of our experience of the league and dynamism within our team that we can get something from the game, particularly with the last two performances we've put in the league.
Definitely. And I don't know what impact the home fan attendance will have, if there was going to be any, because like as I mentioned earlier, like I'm not sure if the attendance today at the Reading game made much difference to either teams, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I think the Tottenham match that when we played at home was good. It showed fight. It showed a bit of, you know, a bit of energy. I say a bit of dynamism. We've got creative players who can score. We've got competent, confident players, and they're all locking in together quite nicely, like Bissell, Wellings, Mastrantonio, Salmon. They're all looking like they can link up together and make something happen. So I'm hopeful. We do need to win it on Wednesday.
Sure. And
we'll make a massive difference to our season if we could win it.
Definitely. And again, there's only a 3-day turnaround between today's game and the game against Villa on Wednesday, whereas Villa played yesterday, so they technically will have an extra day's rest. And then after that, play West Ham 5 days later. So, yeah, it's just fingers crossed. We can hope for Bristol wins.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting today against Chelsea today, West Ham 3-2 was the final result. I think they've got their goalkeeper coach in charge now, haven't they? He looks like he's steadying the ship a bit, and Rachel Daly's looking dangerous. She scored today, I think. And
yeah, she did, and it's her birthday apparently, according to Twitter.
Well, happy birthday, yeah. Rachel Daly. So yeah, I don't know about West Ham. I think if we can get a win and a draw on Sunday, a win on Wednesday and a draw on Sunday, I'd be really, really pleased.
I mean, we haven't played either teams in a while. Like, I don't think Bristol ever played Aston Villa before, unless it's like in the Conti Cup game or something like that. And West Ham, we didn't play at all last season because of the games getting postponed due to bad weather, and then subsequently the season ending due to the pandemic.
We'll definitely have to have our wits about us on both occasions, but, you know. Sure. Hopefully we can get something. Feel more confident about Wednesday than I do about Sunday, but we'll see.
I feel like the last two performances in the league have been really, really different in that we've not conceded loads of goals. I think we've done that thing that they were talking about, which is just like we've stayed in the game and we've given ourselves a chance. And I do actually feel like based on today's performance, if you keep yourself in the game, you could win it. And just, I think, you know, the fact that we've kind of had two draws recently just shows that we can at least stay in it and we can nick something. And actually, the two goals that we've scored from open play, they've been good, haven't they? Mm-hmm. They've been, yeah. So I just feel like if we can shut out those teams, then we can get something from them. It'd be amazing to beat one of them. At least, let's go for the Villa.
I think so. I think it's between us and Villa for the drop. Like, it's, you know, we've got to be honest about that. Tottenham picked up 3 points today.
Yeah, Alex Morgan scored her first Spurs goal, and of course Football Twitter went mad about that for some reason. So
yeah. But I think Brighton look like they're faltering, so that could be another point of attack in terms of us. So I think I mean, to use a very terrible cliche, it is a marathon and not a sprint, this league. And if we can just keep plodding away and picking up points, gaining confidence, you know, I think it's looking good. I feel better about where we are now I think, than I did last season. I think we've got a more rounded, well-rounded squad, more dynamic squad, more exciting squad.
Yeah, and hopefully those kind of players that we've been missing over the last little while, hopefully when they come back, they'll be able to make a really positive contribution. I feel like I kind of missed Chloe Lugazo today. I feel like she would have been kind of someone maybe who could have kind of kept the ball in the way that I was kind of wanting Bristol to do today. You know, it'd be amazing to have Amy Palmer back anytime soon, wouldn't it? I think she would have been all over it today. Really good to have, like, you know, Megan Wynn, if she were to come back, that would be amazing. You know, see Faye Bryson maybe starting. I'd really like to see her and Purfield, you know, together, like that kind of really, really dynamic movement up the wings. So, yeah, I feel similarly. After two draws, I've started to feel really confident about what's going to happen in the future for Bristol City Women.
You're slightly less in the throes of despair anyway.
Sure. And I think Jazz Matthews will be back in the squad for next week's games, or at least one of them anyway. So.
Yeah, totally. I think so. I think she's, you know, got to be taken care of. Obviously, it's very very in the news, isn't it? The questions of concussion. So yeah, I hope she's okay.
Sure. And of course, just so that our listeners know, because of the two games next week, we will be covering both games in a special bumper episode next Sunday. You've been listening to episode 11 of the Bristol City Vixen Cast. The music was by Annie Gardiner, the editing was by DM Withers, artwork was by Shahan Mia, and Scotch Egg Subliminal Messaging was by Nab Brown.
Superb. Thanks, Shahan. Great.
Yeah, and keep supporting women's football.
Woo-hoo!